a great week this week. I pray God's blessings upon you. God's blessings upon you. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before you. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I want to congratulate all men out there who are working diligently to be good fathers, whether they are stepfathers, fathers, biological fathers, or just spiritual fathers. I want to congratulate you. You know, one of the hardest jobs, besides going out there and work and make money, one of the hardest things is to be a good father in a home. That's hard. I mean, you know, because you know what? You know, we don't have a, you know, when we're born, they don't give us a handbook and say, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. But in a way, we do have a handbook because we have the Word of God, you know. And God says to read it, to seek it, to know it. And it tells you how and what you should and should not do as a husband, as a father. And so, you know, I want to congratulate all men. You know, some men are fathers, some aren't. And so we want to congratulate you on doing a good job. You know, congratulate you on being in church. Being in church. You know, you see many, many families where, you know, the mother and the children will come and then, you know, no father. And that's difficult because that's a hard thing. Because the father is the spiritual leader of that home. He's the one that sets the tone of the Spirit of God upon that home. And so, you know, we're praying God raise up spiritual fathers in the home that will take on that responsibility and help and do what needs to be done. But I do want to congratulate you fathers that are here. You know, because we have many great men in this church, and I just thank God for that. Love God. I mean, love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That will get up early in the morning, and the first thing they do after they get a cup of coffee or whatever is sit down and read their Bibles. That says something. That says something. That says that you care about the spiritual nature or the spiritual outfit of your life. That you want to know more about God. And that this is God's. This is God's map of knowing Him. We need to yearn for this thing. We need to yearn for the things of God, the spiritual things of God, knowing the Scriptures. You know, we can read and read and read. We can read 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we still wouldn't know it all in this Word. Because there's so much to know. But yet, you know, I know we can't do that, but we can strive to read as much as possible as we can. I want you to turn, if you would, to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Look at verse 6. It says this, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And there's many things with this, but what I want to look at a little bit today is how God says that he will turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. Now, you know, we know of fathers, it can be your earthly fathers, spiritual fathers, I mean, you know, the prophets, and he talks about things like that. But God says, and basically he's talking about the tribulation time of the comet there, something there, at that timing. But also we can see how we need God to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. The one thing that the devil will try to do is break any relationship he can, you know, in the family. I mean, he will try to break any relationship he can between mothers and fathers, between children and mothers, between children and fathers, and on and on and on. Break it however he can. Because you see, when he can break a relationship within a family, it makes that family weaker. So what God says he wants to do is, he wants to mend the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. That means he wants to bring the relationship back together. Back together. Back together. You see, as fathers, we represent the Heavenly Father upon the earth. We are not those. We represent who he is in that family. And so we got to keep a good representation of who our Father in heaven is on an earthly spectrum. Earthly spectrum. And so what God is trying to do is mend relationships. You know, probably everyone in here, just as I talked on Mother's Day, probably everyone in here has had some good relationships with their fathers, and some have had bad relationships with their fathers. I know that. I know it. You know, you cannot stand here and say everybody has had a great relationship with their father, because I know they have not. But this is the deal. If you're the father, you want God to mend that relationship between the father and you as the child. And also, if you're the child, you want God to mend that relationship between the child and the father. You see, there has to be a mending. Now, you might say, well, you know, either he or he was not there, or certain things happened that broke that relationship. But God wants to heal that relationship. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go and, you know, mend with him. But that means that you go to the Father and let the Father mend that heart. Heal that heart. You see? God wants to do a spiritual work on each and every one of us with our earthly father so that we can have a better relationship with him. God wants to mend and heal those areas. You know, we have to forgive. It's not easy, some things. But we have to forgive no matter what. Some have had great relationships with their fathers and great things, you know, but some on the other end may not have had some of the greatest relationships with their fathers. Either way, there still needs to be forgiveness. We need to ask God to forgive us. We need to forgive him no matter what. You know, that's just like, you know, every family, and I know you're quiet today. That's okay. Every family has problems. You know, with all kinds of stuff. Things happen in a family, and God needs to come in and heal and help and do. We need to let God heal the relationship between you and your father, or between your father and you. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to move and heal. You have to forgive. You might say, Pastor, you don't realize what happened to me. And I know I may not realize that, but I know this. If you and I don't forgive, it will hold us in bondage, and we will not be able to become what God intended and wanted us to be upon the earth. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and heal those areas. Heal those areas that need to be healed. Let the Holy Spirit work. Go before God and say, Lord, you see what happened. You see what went on. And let the Holy Spirit work. I know some have had severed relationships severed. I mean, that cut where the father or the parents don't have any relationship with their children. Allow the Holy Spirit to work. Keep your heart before God and call him or her home. Let me tell you, as we were singing, how great thou art. God can heal your children. God can heal them and bring them home. God can make them get on that phone and call you. God can make them get in that car and drive to your house. God can make them get on that motorcycle, some people call it, and ride to your house. God can do those things, people. We should never limit what God can do. How great is your God? That mountain may be high, but I tell you what, your God stands head and shoulders above any mountain that the enemy will place before you. I know some of us, just like myself, some of us, our fathers are not around anymore. They're gone. And you know, today you get up and you think, I'd like to be able to call him or him. Him. And just say, you know, Dad, I love you. Or Dad, what are you doing today? You know, sometimes you don't realize the loss till after they're gone. So the ones that you have your dads here, treasure that. Get on the phone and call them. Maybe you haven't called them at all in a long time. But just call and say, Dad, thank you. Or love you. Or Happy Father's Day. You know, whatever. You know, some of us, if we want to see our fathers, if you want to say see, we have to go to a cemetery and look and see a name. And that's hard. But I know this, there's comfort in our hearts that our fathers have made it to heaven. Maybe they accepted Jesus before they died. That brings comfort to your heart. You know they did. They accepted our Lord and Savior. They're in heaven celebrating with God this day. See, they're celebrating. And I know we our hearts are broken at a time sometimes like this. But you see, we keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the God that goes before us and helps us to overcome those things. See, you remember when Jesus came and Mary and Martha, I know I talked about that a while back. Their brother had died, Lazarus. He knew how they felt. Remember this, Jesus knows how you feel today. He knows what it is. The Father knows what it is to lose his son, to lose that relationship for a certain time period. Remember when Jesus died and the earth, it turned black? I mean, the sun was gone, basically, if you want to say it that way. But the power of God that can heal a relationship. Let God be God this day. Don't let the devil, you know, come against you and say, hey, you know, you'll never amount or whatever. But let the Spirit of God come in and heal that area of your heart. And even to console that spirit or that person on the inside of you. Because we can remember all the good times that happened. You know, probably each and every one of you, if I'd have you stand up and say, tell me about your father, you can say all kinds of things. Some good, some bad. That's just like a Mother's Day, good and bad all around. But also we need to remember the good. There has to be some positive somewhere. Concentrate on that this day. Don't concentrate maybe on the bad or the evil or whatever happened, but to try to concentrate on the good. But also remember who our spiritual Father is, our God, our Lord, our Savior. That He's so good to us that He sent His Son for you because He loved you so much. You know, I remember, I know my mother can attest to this. It's good to have my mother here today, huh? Amen. Amen. Good to have her here. How old are you? 83? 84, oh. 84, Lord. Lord, oh, Lord, Lord. One day we'll hopefully be there one day. But you know, we all have had experiences with our fathers and things that happened. I know when I was growing up, you know, my mother and father, they divorced, you know, and things happen. You know, whose fault is this? Nobody's fault. Things happen. We need to learn to, hey, go to God and let God be God.
Amen.
You know, and you know, hey, it was hard. You know, things happen. Hey, it was hard, huh? Hey, look, we had some hard times, but we made it through. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things. And you know, I know some of you mothers had to be fathers too at times in trying to do for your children. And let me tell you, y'all did a great job. You did the best you could do, you know. But you know, my father, you know, he grew up, you know, in a different era, different time, and you know, treated things differently, you know. But I want to stem down to this, the last year of his life. I didn't know he was going to die at, what, 76, maybe, something like that. Or 72. I mean, it was, you know, he was in good health. You know, he did well, you know, whatever. But I'm going to tell you how God is. The last year of his life, God allowed me to go and visit with him almost every week. Almost every week. To spend time, go eat, do something, you know, and just build that relationship. And I know he received God, received the Lord. I mean, and, you know, just to see what God could do, how God is such a faithful God in the end, in all things. See, God is faithful in how he came in and healed that relationship and did a marvelous thing in healing on both areas of our lives, both sides, you know, in doing that. And how the last year of his life, I was able to spend that time with him and do some things with him and letting God be God in that situation. And when he passed away, comforting to know that, if you want to say, he split heaven wide open and went there, knowing without a shadow of a doubt that he made Jesus the Lord of his life and was sorry about all the things that happened in the past. And God received him as he gave up his life unto the Lord. And so you know how faithful God is. You see, till the end, remember, as we serve God, God will move in every area of our lives in trying to bring healing of relationship, in trying to move in every area because he cares about you. You are the center point of God's life. Remember that. It's not the earth, which that's important. It's not the air we breathe, which is important. It's not the trees that are being grown or the birds in the air or whatever animals they have. Those are important, and we thank God for them. But the very life of our God is you. You. That he cared so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die upon a cross because of the love that was in his heart for humanity. He loves you and cares about you. That's the type of father that we have up there in heaven. We have in heaven. And probably each and every one of you can name all kinds of things about your father that God miraculously did. And work and happened in your life, letting God be God, letting God be God. But I want to look at one man. of what God said about this man. What God said. The life of Methuselah's father. Methuselah lived 969 years old. He was the oldest man. He lived the longest, 969. But his father, you know who his father was? You'd say, oh yeah, Enoch. Remember Enoch in the Bible? Enoch? Yep. I mean, Enoch was the one that he lived 365 years and God just took him into glory. I want to look at this man and we can maybe learn a few things from him. Look at Genesis chapter 5. Look at starting with verse 21. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Interesting. Here we see a great man. Here we see at around 65 years of age, somehow there was a translation of him as for serving God. He gave somehow his heart to the Lord at about 65 years of age. And God used this man to transform many things upon the earth. But what was interesting the most is there are three statements, as you can see in verse 22. Look at verse 22. It says, and Enoch walked with God. And the commentary says there are three statements that were made in the Bible respecting Enoch. Number one, that he walked with God. You know, we're talking about today's Father's Day. Today is Father's Day. We can learn as fathers a little something about this man. It says that, and ladies too, but I mean, because it's Father's Day. But it says that Enoch walked with God. Now you might say, but did he walk physically with God? No, that's not what he's zoning in on. What he's zoning in is about his relationship that he had with the Father. That every time the Father would tell him something, he would do it. He would do it. Oh, he's getting come see. He's probably saying, oh Lord, what he wants to do. This he's gonna represent the Father. Because he's taller. And I appreciate it. And I'm gonna represent Enoch. I will just walk. This is the Father, and this is Enoch just walking right next to him. And every time the Father would stop, Enoch would stop. That's a relationship. And every time the Father would turn around, Enoch would turn around. Okay? And he walked right over, because he walked with God. He walked with God. And he made it simple. Thank you. Every time the Father sat, Enoch sat. He walked with God. See, we need to realize that we're not walking with a church. We're not walking with humanity. And we need relationships. You need a pastor. I need you. I need you as people. There's two ways. And we both need God. Amen. And every time the Father would tell him to do something, or would speak to him, Enoch would do it. We need to zone in on our relationship to him. We should not look at our relationship to the Father flippantly. Like, if I want to do this, well, I'll do it. Well, if he speaks to me and I really don't want to do it, I won't do it. Well, you know, I'll just do what I want to do. No. You gave up your life to the cause of Christ. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you gave it up. And he knows what is best. And when the Father would walk, it says spiritually, that Enoch was there walking with God, saying, Father, what do you want? What do you want me to say? Because he said some hard things in the Bible to the Israelites. He said some hard things. But he listened to the Father and he walked with him. But Enoch knew that the Father would take care of him. Enoch knew that if somebody came against him, his Father would take care of it however he wanted to do it. We need to have that relationship with him, fathers. That the Lord can speak to us as we read that word, as we pray, as we seek him and honor him. Because we're walking with our God, that he can speak with us. He can rely upon us to get his will done upon the earth. That we have a heart for him and for his agenda. Not the agenda of just what the church wants. Because sometimes the agenda of the church is not the agenda of God. It's far from it. Far from it. We need to allow the Holy Spirit, as he walked with the Father spoke to him, helped him, and with him. Number two, look at this. It says, he witnessed for God. Look in Jude, I want you to turn there. In Jude verse 14, he witnessed for God. Look at verse 14. Of Jude. Jude chapter 1, verse 14. There's only one chapter. Not even. There's not even a chapter. Just Jude 14. Verse 14. It's on page 2181. Everybody said, oh, okay. Look at this. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, my God, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all who are ungodly among all among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their horrid speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Look at this. And Enoch, verse 14, also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. 10,000. Talk about the future. My God. Look also, he says that in Genesis, it says that he pleased God. Pleased God. People. Men, we need to please God. What pleases God? Probably you could give me a list of things that just pleases him. You know, as men, what pleases God, number one, is to be like David, to have a heart after God. To be like Enoch, to walk with God. To love righteousness. To love God's word. To see the power of God move upon a family and upon a church. To see miracle signs and wonders. And I know we're not supposed to put our eyes on that. We're supposed to keep our eyes on him. But to look to him. To be men of integrity. Men that know the word of God. I say, well, my wife's been saved longer than me. That's okay. You just keep learning every day. That's okay. You keep letting God move in your heart. And you be the spiritual leader in that home, letting God move within you. Let me tell you, this is the order of things. And I know there's the Father. Okay. Then there's the husband. And then there's the wife. You might say, well, you're not into the year 2017 where everybody's equal. Spiritually, yes, I understand that. But in the order of things, God has put an order. You see, to protect the wife, to protect the children spiritually and physically, to pray, to honor God, to see God move. and letting God be God. We gotta stay there in that position. And yes, hey, let me tell you, the Zufur is out there, and he's trying to destroy men and the manhood of men. He's trying to destroy the church. He's trying to destroy the preachers. He's trying to destroy the wives. He's trying to destroy the children. But let me tell you, we don't look at the mountain in front of us. We look to the God, how great he is, that can keep things running. And what we need to do is we need to please God, have a heart for God, let walk with God, and let God move at will within our hearts and lives. And when we see God move, it keeps our faith strong within him. Say, we serve a mighty God. There's nothing too difficult that God cannot solve in my heart and in my life, just like yours. There's nothing too difficult that God can't give you victory over in your heart and in your life. You may think, this is too hard for God. He can't solve this. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. He can mend relationships. He can bring back things the way they're supposed to be. And he can bring back finances into your home. As we allow the Spirit of God to move within our homes. You know, when they were about to leave Egypt, God was about to take them out. The Spirit of God came upon Goshen. It was called, that's where the Israelites were. The Spirit of God came upon them. Strengthening them, helping them for the journey that was about to come. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God is ready to move. The Spirit of God is looking for men and women that will take on the mantle of righteousness, that will take on the mantle of our God. And let God move. God wants the ones that you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, God wants to fill you. God wants to heal your bodies. God wants to move within your heart and soul like never before. That's the kind of God we serve. A mighty God. We don't serve no little impy wimpy God. We serve a mighty God that made the heavens and the earth, the human beings, God Almighty. That we can go to God. We can go to God and we can go to him through to his throne room and we can petition him for things that are needed within our lives. And we can petition him for things that are happening in our lives and asking God to move. Psalms 103 verse 13 says, like a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them who fear him. Or you can put in that place, like a father has compassion upon his children, so the Lord has compassion on them who fear him. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, talks about the baptism of Jesus. John the Baptist is baptizing people. Now, some say he dunked them, some say they just went down and poured water or whatever. However, you're going to baptize them. Just make sure it's all over you. You totally dunked under. John the Baptist, which were those first cousins and all that, Jesus, he was baptizing believers. Baptizing them. And all of a sudden, as he baptized him, I don't know if it was the last one he baptized or not, let's say, came up, says that he looked and he saw the Son of Man. He saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming. And when he came to him, Jesus said, John, I need you to baptize me. See, Jesus needed to be baptized because the Father told him to do it, not because of sin of any kind. Out of obedience to his home. John says, no, I can't do it. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said, no, you baptize me. See, we got to remember, we have to do things the way the Father says to do it. Even though we might think we know better, we don't. Jesus knows better. And it says that John the Baptist took Jesus, however, and he baptized him. And when he came up, it says the heavens opened. Can you imagine? Here the Father is seeing Jesus come to be baptized, and he's looking down. And when he's baptized, it says the Father opened up the heavens and spoke. What did he say? This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Men, I want you to receive that today. Ladies too. Children too. Teenagers too. The Father spoke back to Jesus. He said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus heard it. Then after that, he went, did all kinds of miracles, and in the end, he died on the cross. Let me tell you this. That did something to Jesus that no other person could do for him. It built him up on the inside. Because you see, he was 100% man, yet 100% God. 100% man. He had everything, the bones that we have, the flesh that we have, yet no sin nature because he was not born of Adam, or not born of Mary or Joseph. So he didn't have that part. But yet the Father encouraged him, said, I am well pleased with you. And let me tell you this, people, our Father is well pleased with us. I'm telling you. You might say, oh Lord, Joe, Pastor, I think you got a real mistake here. It does not matter how we look at things. What matters is how God looks at us. And he's well pleased with us. He's well pleased with our faith in him. He's well pleased on how we believe in him. He's well pleased on our dedication to him. He's well pleased on our reading with him. Not that we do all these things to gain anything with him. We do it because of our love towards him. But our Father is pleased. Your Father, let me put it that way, is well pleased with you. Now, that doesn't mean we can't get a little better. Or do a little better. But our Father is pleased with us. He's pleased how when we get up in the morning, we shake the heavens with prayer. He's pleased that when we shake the bars of heaven, if you want to say it, or the throne room of heaven, that we don't give up. Fathers, he's well pleased how you don't give up on your children. How you constantly interceding and praying for them and believing God to move. He's well pleased on our faith in him, to believe him for everything. And when we do get down, he comes in and encourages us and helps us. Just as the Father was pleased with his Son Jesus, our Father is pleased with us. He knows the struggles we have, men. He knows them. Jesus went through them too. Yet without sin. He knows the struggles you have in the morning or at night or whenever during the day. He knows the things that bombard your minds and your hearts. He knows what's happening. As we keep our faith in Christ as the only victory, as the only way we can get victory in every aspect of our lives. It says in the last days that evil will rise up. But also it says in the last days that God would pour out his Spirit upon all mankind. And God poured out his Spirit upon humanity because he's raising up a church that will stand strong and not give up on him. He's raising up a church that will stand firm on the beliefs that he has given to the church and stand and stand and stand and believe him no matter what. Let me tell you, the end is short. We need to believe God for our families and friends like never before. Fathers, get up and pray. As you work, pray for your family. As you in your car or your vehicle, pray. Ask God to move. Ask God to move. Ask God to move. And you might say, well, is he going to move? Yes, he will. As we get things straight and at his perfect timing, he's going to move. We just got to do our part in keeping our faith in him to change this world for the betterment of mankind towards him. He is our God. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. We have to put our faith and trust in him no matter what. No matter what. And when the mountain rises up, we keep our eyes upon him. When the mountain's not there, we keep our eyes upon him. Sometimes that's the hardest time, when the mountain's not there anymore. Remember what happened to Moses? He went up to the mountain to pray and to see God. What was happening at the bottom of the mountain? They melted all their revenue of gold that God gave them and made a calf of all things. Make a beautiful horse or something. Well, the calf was because that's what they worshiped in Egypt and all kinds. That was their gods. So there was not a change of form. We need to let God be God. We need to let God move. Amen. Let's take on the mantle of righteousness like never before. Let's live a life that is pleasing unto God and bring other people along and say, hey, come on, brother. You can make it. Come on, brother. Come with me. Come on, brother. Let's pray together. Let God be God in our midst. Let God move within our midst. Let God be the God that he wants to be. Let God show himself unto us. He's pleased with us. But yet he expects a little bit more and a little bit more. That's just like when you're going through grade school, you know. The teacher's pleased at the end of the year. You made it, thank God, to go to the next grade. But there's still more to learn from first to second and second to third and fourth to fifth. Well, we're in fourth or fifth grade and God is expecting us to go more. To go more with him and say, God, I believe. God, I'll stand for you. God, I won't back down. I won't do what, you know, evil in your sight, Father. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord God. As the Father said to Jesus, he's pleased with him. He's pleased with us. I know some of you are having a hard time believing that. But that's okay. Let God be God. Let God be God. Men, I want to, as I close, I want to wish you a great Father's Day. A great Father's Day. I know it may be tough in a little some areas, but when the tough areas of the day come along, get by yourself, get on your knees, and call out to God. And let me tell you, the Spirit of God will meet you where you are and will heal that area of your heart. I appreciate every one of you. I thank God for you and what he's doing in your life. Would all the men, if you would all men 15 years of age and older, would you please stand? Would you just stand for a minute? What I want to do is, you need to pray. Pray for our men. Ladies, or whoever else, what I want you to do, if there's a man by you, I want you to put your hand on him. If they're not, point your hand towards him, whatever, okay? Because we need to pray for the men. The devil will do everything he can to destroy mankind and men. But you know what? God will do all he can to save humanity. Let's close our eyes and I want to pray for you, okay? Father, I come before you this day. And Lord God, you see the weak areas, you see the areas that need to be healed. Lord God, help these men, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, do a mighty work in their hearts, Lord God. Lord, you see those areas that need to be pruned and cut and taken away, Lord God. Lord, prune those areas of their lives, of our lives, Lord God. But Father, I pray that you'd raise us up to be mighty men of war, Lord God, to mighty men of war in this church and in this area, Lord God, that, Father, we will take the land and we will take our families, Lord God, to the cross of Calvary. That, Father, that you will work in us. You will protect our minds, our spirits, our souls, and our bodies in the name of Jesus. That, Lord God, you will raise us up to be mighty men, Lord God, like never before, Father. Help us, Lord God, to be like a Joshua, Lord God, or a Caleb, Lord God, that will take the land, Father. Lord, keep our hearts dear before you, Lord God, and clear before you, Father. Protect us, lead us, and guide us. Touch them, Lord God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Everyone may stand, please.